Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a special episode of Gamertag Radio. This is your host, Danny, live from New York City, of course. And joining me for this episode, we have Paris. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, what is going on, man? It has been one long day, just full of Emerald and Xboxes and Halos.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a crazy day, man. So this is what we're going to do first. I'm going to do a quick introduction about the show. Go to GamertagRadio.com and listen to our past episodes. Put your comments. Make sure to share it. You also could find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and subscribe, follow us, or even post a review if you can. And if you would like to be part of fan mail, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so before we start with our thoughts about Xbox Games Showcase, we're going to start the show with our interview with the head of marketing at Xbox, Aaron Greenberg. And once we come back, we're going to talk about our thoughts about the showcase. All right, so we have a special guest. We always have him once a year. The head of marketing at Xbox, Aaron Greenberg, is back. What's going on, Aaron?
Not much. It's good to be back. How are you all?
Everything good, man. Everything good. And we're excited to talk to you about Xbox Games Showcase. And I'm going to start out with this, man. So, And you tell me if my theory is correct. I think the showcase was really good. I had a great time watching it. I couldn't even sleep last night. I was so excited about Halo Infinite, right? But besides Halo Infinite, I felt like there was a lot of games that I truly enjoyed. There was a lot that probably people are curious about it, right? But this was like chapter one of the story. Like, I feel like there's going to be more stuff, more announcements from now to launch, right? So I know there's going to be more than just this, right? Because that was the conversation that everybody's saying. Like, no, I feel like we're missing more stuff. There's not enough gameplay and, you know, typical conversation.
People always want more. We totally appreciate that. I mean, mm-hmm. Here's the way I would think. It's a great question. Here's the way I think about it. Mm-hmm. In the old days, we used to save all our news for one single moment in time. We would go to E3. And we'd literally announce nothing all year. And we would drop like 5 megatons at E3. Remember the Final Fantasy, you know, everyone talks about the famous thing.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think like the world has evolved. And like people have an appetite for more news, more stuff than just one time a year. And frankly, Pete, there's a set of millions and millions of gamers out there that would only tune in to hear from us and from other people in the gaming industry, publishers already, like once a year. And I think as we see gaming growing and we see people becoming more engaged and spending more time gaming, people, their appetite has increased. And so as I look back, let's just say E3, let's skip E3 last year, which we announced tons of stuff there, and then just go since E3 last year to this point moment in time. XO19, we announced 3 brand new first party games, Grounded, Everwild, and anyway, I know we announced 3. It'll come to me in a minute. Tell me mm-hmm. why. Then we announced at the Game Awards, we unveiled our console, Series X, and we announced Hellblade 2, kind of surprised the world there. Then we've had sort of these beats where we've been showing more about the hardware and a lot of the tech specs and the velocity architecture and really like all the speeds and feeds inside the world's most powerful console. And that gets us to today. By the way, also pandemic happened. Every single person on every development team, on every asset, every game, and every person producing the show, all doing it from home. Now, gamers don't really care. I get it. They're not asking for any forgiveness on that, but just know that like this one was particularly hard. E3 got canceled. You know, dev teams suddenly were like loading up their cars with like dev kits and trying to figure out how they're going to keep developing games from their home. How do they check in code and all that? So we've been on quite a ride and journey. You're right. This was not E3. It was not supposed to replace E3. This was a game showcase. Our focus was, hey, we could go have a bigger show with more time and just have more variety of stuff. We wanted this to have a very clear sense of purpose, why every game was in this show. And what you saw was us from beginning to end, for the first time I ever put a show together, we could say, listen, if you're a Game Pass member, every game in the show you can play. We also showed a lot of our first party studios, 9 of our 15 first party studios. We announced 5 brand new game reveals from our first party teams. And I think you really saw a show kind of that creative diversity of those teams. Plus, we announced a major partnership with Bungie on Destiny. Major, major partnership there across many things. Like
yeah.
And then all the third-party games after that all are being built to launch exclusively first on Xbox. So you saw us focus on an exclusive story, a Game Pass story, a first-party story, and we did that all in an hour. Open with Halo, close with Fable. So that was very deliberate, very purposeful, and I think we feel really good about that. Is this the last time we're going to do anything, announce anything, show anything between now and the end of the year? No. Do we have 15 studio teams working on a lot of games? Yes. So you're right. This is a big moment in time for us as it comes from games and showcasing the games, but we definitely have more to show and tell. But I don't want to it's not like next month we have a second show with 5 more new games. I don't want to like mislead people, but today was a big moment, but also like we didn't save our news for a year either. And we're not going to like stay quiet between now and next summer, if that makes sense.
No, all right. Makes total sense. So I know we have you limited time, so I'm going to just jump right into the meat of what I want to be able to ask you. First and foremost, I think Game Pass was the real star of the show today for me, because we saw the variety of games that you have. There was really something for everyone here in this event, right? And everything comes to Game Pass. So it just kind of highlights just the services that you've been building the past few years, which has literally led up to this moment. But there was one thing that I took out of all this that I wanted to ask you about, and that's Halo Infinite, and that's Forza Motorsport. Halo Infinite obviously has been 5 years in the making. It's made its debut. We can debate how amazing it was later, but besides the point, Forza isn't coming at launch, and it looks like it's not coming anytime soon. It's been 3 years since Turn 10 has given us a Forza game. And the reason I'm bringing that up is not only am great, if it's not ready at launch, you take all the time you need to make this game. But when I look at Halo Infinite and I look at now Forza Motorsport, I think we're seeing another transition with Microsoft Game Studios where you're making this game almost like a platform now. And I just kind of want a little bit of confirmation with you on Forza, because it clearly looks like you're doing that with Halo Infinite. But then I even look at Forza Motorsport, you're getting away from, hey, this is Forza 8, 9, 10. No, this is Forza Motorsport, the platform that this game will live on, and we will iterate with it over time. So is that an accurate assessment? Just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a great, great question, Parrish. You're right. First, your Game Pass was the star of the show today. And, you know, I think that was something we really want to make clear. We've dreamed of being able to do an entire show of games, all being able to say coming in Game Pass. So we've never been able to do that. Today we were. I think that's a huge milestone. Our development teams, first off, our internal teams are being given more resource and more focus to be able to go and really rethink what the future of gaming and what the future of our platforms mean.
Yes.
So what that means is that a team like Turn 10, who has 15 years of building the highest rated, best-selling racing franchise in gaming period, now gets to like completely reimagine what the motorsport franchise can be. So they're going to take all the learnings of the last 15 years and pair that with like new game concepts and innovation. And in a world where more than 10 million Game Pass members, where the world where this game becomes included for you on console and PC at no additional cost. Like, we don't have to add a number to add more innovation and add more content exactly. for you. So that is the mindset. So giving the greatest developers in the racing genre the opportunity to completely reimagine, a couple things. One, give them time. Because if you give people, you give the greatest developers in the world more time to do that, the bar goes like way up on like the potential and the opportunity. And it like empties like the, just rethinking everything. And that team is like so brilliant, so talented. Hear so much about their fans. With that said, like they are still managing in partnership with Playground, the Forza franchise and Horizon. So what you're also seeing is we're saying, listen, I mean, Horizon's had a ton of updates. We're still adding more content to Horizon. We're going to fully optimize Horizon in 4K 60 at launch for Series X this holiday. So racing fans will be able to not only play Motorsport, they can play Horizon, and we're going to give Horizon all the bells and whistles at the same time. And then allow another team at Playground to go off and work on Fable, yes. You know, a whole new beginning for like one of the world's most legendary franchises, and another team to go off and work on reimagining Motorsport. So that's kind of the vision for us. That is a big strategic kind of more longer term vision. But we think fits with our kind of mindset around we have Halo Infinite this holiday, you know, that having a killer app for the launch of a new console. We haven't had that since the original Xbox. So we feel really good about that. We have over 100 games that will be optimized for Series X. We'll have four generations of games to play at launch. So the amount of games to play that we'll be showcasing 4K 60, you know, Ori Will the Wisp is going to be showing 120 frames. I mean, God bless Moon Studios. So like, all that, we think gamers will be fully delighted and we can deliver on the promise there. But we're going to keep delivering more content, more innovation. And some of those are coming this year, some are coming next year, and some are coming after that. And so we showed a little bit more of our hand today on that, but that is kind of how we're thinking about it strategically. Does that answer your question?
No, it absolutely does, because that's kind of the synergy of what you're doing now, having Game Pass and the fact that this, it's clearly the future. I mean, I even tweeted it earlier. And the fact that you now don't have to rely on sequels because you have Game Pass subscribers. So they're already guaranteed to get these games. So instead of worrying about, let's crank out the latest and greatest sequel with a number on it, take the platform of the game you have, let the developers continue to build upon what they've already started. And that's what excites me more than anything. That's why I look at something like Halo Infinite and the possibilities with this open world is now endless. Obviously, you're going to have the multiplayer that goes with that as well. But that's what excites me more than anything, to see that you're taking the services along with the development talent and basically combining them together and just making this one service and platform where creativity is king versus making sure we get to the next great thing. The next great thing might already be here. Let's just keep building on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. It's very purposeful and you're spot on with that observation. And I would say if you looked back a couple of years ago at like the blockbuster movie industry, and, you know, I feel like in some ways people are saying, hey, how come you're not making a Mission Impossible 7? And we're like, actually, no, we're completely reinventing the way we think, you know, our entertainment form could be made. And yes, we'll have the Irishman equivalent. We'll have big AAA experiences.
Right.
But, you know, today people are spending a lot more time watching, you know, movies as a service, right? And we think that gaming, you know, is kind of heading in the same direction. And Game Pass is a great testament to that. I think the other piece there is that not just for us, but also like we designed Game Pass to not just be a great value for our gamers, but also for developers. And while we've seen a lot of, you know, indie developers and mid-tier developers supporting the platform, to be able to see really prestige games like Stalker 2 saying we're coming day and date, seeing, you know, some of the best third-party developers in the world like Bungie say, listen, we're all in on Game Pass, I think is really a testament to the service. And what we're seeing is people in the service play more games, spend more time playing games, drive more engagement, play a lot of games that would have never bought. And ultimately, that's good for gamers, that's good for developers, and that's good for the ecosystem broadly.
Yeah. You know, one thing, Aaron, that I really enjoy about Game Pass too is that you guys are adding a lot more Japanese games now too in there. So I know the announcement today was Dragon Quest. That's like a huge big one because I'm a huge fan of JRPG, right? Also Tetris Effect Connected, Fanny Star Online 2, the 20th anniversary. Like, I'm a huge fan of that game too. So it's good to see more games now coming from Japanese studios and also available for Xbox Game Pass. I think that's going to be a big thing for you guys too.
Yeah, I mean, we listen to our fans a lot on that. And Danny, you're not alone. Like, there's a lot of fans that are just in the same space you are. I mean, basically, every time we send Phil Spencer over to Japan in an airplane, he comes back with like a box of goodies. So we're going to keep sending Phil to Japan as whenever we safely can. Mm-hmm. But it's great to have Square being able to trust us to unveil brand new titles, to be able to finally bring Dragon Quest to Xbox Series X and Xbox One. Phantasy Star is a console launch exclusive. It's just been great. We're seeing unprecedented Japanese support. We know our fans want that, and you should know that we're really focused on delivering that for our fans. And it's great to see such great support from the Japanese.
One thing, Aaron, like, I know other companies would say that you guys have been saying this for a while, that you're now forcing the gamer to actually buy Series X for, if they want to play Halo Infinite, you could still play it on Xbox One. You could play on your phone, other devices, right? Why that is so important for you guys to not leave gamers behind and not force them to buy a Series X if they want to enjoy these games?
Yeah, I mean, I think that historically, like, the way the console industry works is that when you do move from one generation to the next, like, you kind of lose all the compatibility. And that's all done and designed to try to get you to buy the console. And we just have gone through this list of, you know, you could argue, you know, anti-consumer practices where we felt like didn't put the player first and weren't right by you. And so we've gone through that list and try to one by one just remove them in our kind of approach to the next gen. So are we going to bring Halo Infinite to Xbox One and Series X? Yes. Are we going to put in Game Pass at launch? Yes. If you get a Series X a year from now, are we going to charge you again for the next gen version of the game? No. If you want to play Halo Infinite on the PC, are we going to charge you for that? No. Like, so we're really, and listen, as a gamer, that's the way it should be. If I buy your game or subscribe to your service that includes the game, why should I have to pay again for the same game on another device? We don't believe that's the way the industry should work. And if you put gamers first, that's not how it should be. And so, you know, I'm really proud of what Phil and the team have been leading there, really with that players first focus. And ultimately, I think that has long-term benefits for the brand and for the business. But our bet is on doing what's right by our players.
So two things. First of all, my dog continues to want to be the star of the show whenever I get on video. That's what happens when you work from home. But but two things. Flight Simulator. I noticed that it was not a part of this event. We know it's coming to PC in August, I really thought it potentially would have been at launch for the Series X. We didn't hear anything on that, but we did hear about Gears Tactics. And the second thing along those lines, your backwards compatibility plan. Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. Phil talked about it a little bit even this event. But are there plans to elaborate on that further as we get closer to launch, just about how Series X is going to utilize backwards compatibility? I mean, literally going all the way back to the original Xbox. Like, as an example, something like Crimson Skies being backwards compatible on the Series X. Can we expect enhancements, things like that? Will there be further discussion also on those type of things?
Yeah. So first, your question on Flight is, yes, Flight is not only probably one of the most beautiful games we've ever made, it actually probably leverages the most amount of advanced technology and even Microsoft technology across the entire company of any game we've ever made. The team out of Sobo and our publishing team, what they are creating with that is something truly special. With the PC gamer and particularly the flight enthusiast community, who is our primary audience for that product, they spend a lot of time in that. Is that you too? That's great to hear. Like, we're building this product for them first and foremost. And if you don't optimize for a very specific audience and are really thoughtful about listening to them and building something from the ground up for them, you'll have a hard time, you know, delivering from that audience. So that's what we're doing. So we're building it first with a PC. You know, and really, it's not a game. It's a simulator. It is a true simulator. It's a next-gen simulator that has such incredible level of realism. And so we're excited to have that coming in September. We're bringing that, you know, around the world. We're actually seeing really, really positive response early for that. And we will bring that to Xbox. Absolutely our plan. Now, we have a series of other games that we are going and updating, whether it's Ori Will of the Wisps, whether it's Forza Horizon 4, Sea of Thieves, Gears 5, like all those things will be optimized to take full advantage of Xbox Series X and the power of that hardware. Now, that's another player first thing, because we're going to go have dev teams spend time doing that work. This isn't just every game looks and plays better if you get the upgrade. They're actually going in and optimizing so that it will look really, really take advantage of that. So that's time and dev effort to do that. When we do that at zero cost to our fans, because we give all those upgrades for free. In addition to that, you'll have the four generations of compatibility. I would say, listen, it'll be up to each dev team how much they want to go back and go optimize those older games. They will not do that across the board, because a team that goes and focuses on that means that they can't go work on the next thing. So we have to kind of prioritize and balance. So we're looking at games that have large communities, have engaged communities that we think are going to really want and care about that investment and those benefits. Forza Horizon 4, I think, is a great example of that. Gears 5 is a great example of that, where they have a lot of add-on content. They're still investing and adding more content for those teams and those communities. And to be able to double the frame rates and jump to 4K 60 and add all the benefits of next gen for those titles, I think, are worthy investments. I'm not sure, to be honest, Crimson Skies fits in that same bucket, but will Crimson Skies load faster or Crimson Skies look better? Yes, which is just the beauty of having the benefit of the additional power.
Well, I think even a sneak peek along those lines is Halo 3 right now as part of Master Chief Collection on PC. Almost feels like a new game playing it right now at 60 frames in 4K. I'm having a blast. It's not a remake. It's still that original game that we got back in 07. So that excites me, thinking about the Series X and the potential love of the games. And obviously you brought up Forza Horizon 4 and Gears 5. I mean, I can't wait to see those on Series X as well. But yeah, I'm very happy with the backwards compatibility plan that, that you guys have implemented. And it's almost like if you look at games as being art, you're preserving them so that a new generation can also experience what old people like me, you know, got to experience 20 years ago. So very excited for it.
Yeah, you and me both. I mean, it's just like a classic movie catalog or anything else, like, but not making you rebuy those things again. So if you have those games or you have Game Pass, you're going to get access to a lot of that content. To have four generations of games all available at launch is, and over 100 titles optimized day one. You know, people used to think, oh, if you can get to like 10 games at launch, that's a lot, you know? Yeah. And like, this is just mind blowing. I mean, people are going to struggle with how much to choose from and decide what to play, which we think is a good problem to have.
No, you know why today I feel like it was a very special day for me as a fan of Xbox? You know, 19 years ago, I went to an event in New York City, and I got my the first time I got to play Halo, Project Gotham Racing, all those cool games back then. And those are the reason why I became a fan of Xbox, right? So today was that moment of showing the plans of what you guys are planning to do for the system and for Game Pass, et cetera, right? My question to you is, because of the situation that we're in, man, I know there's going to be gamers that will love to try out these games, but there's no events, nothing. Is there something you guys could do in the future to maybe in a way for them to do like an opportunity for them to try out these games as like hands-on? Like, for example, like this week, I love the idea of Game Pass – not Game Pass, Game Fest, where people will download like the demos and try it out like for the first time. I think we need more of that, Aaron, because people can't go out, they're home, they're stuck, there's not going to be no events, no packs, no E3. I think I would love to see more of that in the future from you guys, man.
Yeah, that's great feedback, Godfrey. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, first I want to recognize like just kudos on the 15th anniversary and the 1,000th episode.
Oh, thanks.
Here, Phil, on that. And you guys have been here from the beginning. And I remember you, you were there with Bill Gates at the original launch. I remember you there interviewing Peter Moore in the early days. So I've watched your journey along the way. It's been awesome. And, you know, I've been a regular listener and always enjoy talking to you guys. So it's been fun to see you on that journey with us.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
We can say I've been there with us from the beginning. So, and then... remind me of your actual question.
No, the question is about having the Game Fest demos, like something demo, like that. Yeah. Because I would love to see that more. It was cool to go just to the store, download these demos, try it out for the first time, and you know, and just
we need maybe to convince now. How do we do all this? Because we're in an unprecedented time. I would say first for all the teams that are making games, not just for us, but just across the board, like making games in this environment is really hard. And I would say people are spending a lot more time to get less done. And so I'm just super impressed with how much people are doing and delivering at this time. So I want to be mindful of like people are still trying to deliver on all the promise of the games they want to deliver and all that. And they're largely doing that, which is super impressive. What we have done, as you saw with the Summer Game Fest, is we worked with a lot of our indie studio partners and actually were able to put out a bunch of playable demos this week that people can go and play. We're testing, learning, kind of seeing that. But I think you're right. How do we kind of replace that physical experience and let people get hands-on? It works for some of those titles. You know, right now, unfortunately, it doesn't work for some of the other titles, you know. But we do have flighting. We do have plans to let people get hands-on with it with some of our other big games. And we'll look at ways to do that. And that's definitely something that we're exploring. That's what we saw this week that we're doing with the Summer Game Fest demos as an example of that. And we're going to test and learn and see how that goes. And where appropriate, we're going to find ways to let people get hands-on without having to be.
Yeah, it was like a E3 from home.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Paris, one more question.
I don't mean to end on a final question as a slightly Debbie Downer, but you know, I try to be honest with my opinion about everything. So the show was solid. It was definitely a solid show that you had today. But as I was talking earlier on another show, I felt like this was part one in a story, in an ongoing story that needs to continue to be told. Like, I absolutely love that you started the show with Halo Infinite. We see the start screen and you're playing the game. We need to see more of that with your titles, because I feel like when I look at Xbox, when I look back, going back to 2013 to where we are right now, you've definitely made tremendous improvements from where we started back then. And I'm genuinely excited about the future of where the Xbox platform is going. But I still think we have these studio acquisitions. We have, they're working on all these titles. We need to see more of an investment in the story elements. I want to care about these games. I want to care about these characters. And we're starting to see that. Absolutely. You know, you had the, you know, Fables coming, things like that. But this was only part one, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm sure you're not resting on your laurels, but if I've seen any feedback today, it's like, gamers that are on the fence or not already invested in the ecosystem, I don't know if today was enough to convince them. But like I said earlier, if you're already in the Xbox ecosystem, if you're already a Game Pass subscriber, you got the pom-poms out and you are celebrating right now because this looks fantastic. The future's bright. But I still think people that are on the outside looking in, I've equated it to Xbox is kind of in a prove-it mode when it comes to their exclusive lineup. And I still think there's some proving to do, so to speak. Yeah. Like, look, Halo Infinite is absolutely a great start. I've said for a while, it is the flagship for the future of what you're doing. It has to lead the way. And I think this was a good intro to it, but we still need to see more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I love the challenge. I mean, we want to prove it. We want to continue to push to do that. And I think, you know, we were very purposeful in how we thought about this event. We wanted to deliver, you know, show people the campaign, big campaign gameplay for Halo. We know that is our big blockbuster title this holiday, launching with Xbox Series X. And so I felt like we did a good job delivering that, getting people excited. If you're thinking about, if you're a Halo fan, you're going to want to get that game this holiday. And I think
yes,
we deliver that. And we haven't even showed the multiplayer and all the other stuff there. So did we show stuff from a variety of studios? Yes. Did we announce 5 new first-party titles? Yes. Did we give a look into the future? Yes. Do we want to continue to show more and announce more? Are there a lot of teams, a lot more stuff working on things we haven't talked about? Absolutely. So that's the fun of this business and all, you know, and how we kind of get to tell more and evolve more, even beyond what we show today with Fable or with Forza Motorsport or Avowed or, you know, State of Decay 3 or, you know, any of whatever the projects or games you're particularly interested in. I think I'm most proud of just the creative diversity of the games and how we're really enabling some of the greatest game makers to go off and realize their full vision, giving them the resources to do that. We didn't talk about Wasteland 3, but for example, like if you talk to Brian Fargo in Exile, the first thing he'll tell you is being part of Xbox, like, one, gave them more time, more resources, and now they can go realize their full vision. They would have shipped that game already, and it wouldn't have had all the things that they wanted to put in. And so that's what we hear from a lot of teams, from Obsidian, from a lot of folks. And so that kind of no compromises approach is how we're thinking about this development and that opportunity. And that manifests in different ways. And so I think you'll see more of that from us. We take the challenge. We're going to continue to have to prove it. We know we do. But you know, if you look at this year alone, the number of first-party games that we have shipped and will ship is unprecedented. You've not seen this kind of lineup from us in years. And so whether it's Ori Will of the Wisps, whether it's Gears Tactics, whether it's Flight Sim, you know, whether it's, you know, Halo Infinite, there's just so many titles that we've been shipping. Leading Edge, there's a long list of things that have come out. And so, you know, we'll continue to deliver that. You're going to see that from us year after year. And I think we now have the creative teams and the pipeline to deliver against that. Not all told in one moment, but I think for today, I think we feel pretty good about where we are and a good look at the future as well.
Cool. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks, Aaron, for, you know, taking your time to talk to us. It's always fun. It's always fun, man, going back and forth with you, man. You know, so hopefully we could do this more again in the future. You know, and yeah, it was. I think it was a great showcase, and I can't wait for the future, man. So
that's great. Appreciate the feedback, the support. Always great to talk to you guys, and I'll definitely be following you guys online. And hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Stay safe. Hope the family's safe, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Awesome. Same to you both.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. So that was a great interview. Shout out to Aaron Greenberg and the whole crew over there at Xbox for giving us the opportunity to record that interview. And look, he's a super busy guy. It's rare to have Aaron on, you know what I'm saying? So once a year, we always have him. And yeah, I'm ready to talk about the showcase, Paris. So I truly, truly enjoy watching the Xbox Games Showcase. Let me ask you this, Paris. I know you were doing stuff with IGN. Were you watching the showcase and just checking out the commentary for everybody else from online or what at the same time?
Well, yeah. So first and foremost, shout out to IGN. I was a part of IGN's pre and post show for the Xbox showcase. So thank you, you know, Ryan McCaffrey and everyone over there for inviting me. So the way that worked was because we were live. I didn't get to really see any of the pre-show that Jeff Keighley was doing because we were live on air during the time. I got to watch the actual showcase itself with Ryan and Miranda and everyone. And then we obviously did the post show. So when we were live on air, whenever we go on break, I would kind of check in and, you know, just see what people were saying on social media, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I've actually not seen a lot of the overall comments of what people were saying about the event as far as like other sites, things like that. But I mean, I thought it was solid personally.
Yeah.
It was a solid show. I thought it felt more like a part one to an ongoing story, which, you know, we talked about with Aaron as well. There's definitely more that needs to be said, but this was a good start to it. Now, I'm just going to jump right into it, Danny, and say this.
Yeah, go for it.
I do not understand the current negative comments on Halo. I just simply don't get it, especially after I went back and watched the 4K video, because it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. This is what I thought Halo Infinite was going to be. I am not sure what people were expecting. It's open world. You basically can go do what you want. They're centering the story around Spartan 117, not all this Luke Cage side stuff. It's about Master Chief. And we know Cortana is going to factor into this as well. Mm-hmm. We're on a Halo ring. They're introducing new enemies, you know, with the Banished. It's very clear, like that general of the Banish, it goes into the legend of Master Chief. Like he's going to find it an honor to kill the legend that is Spartan 117. So the weapon, the different gunplay, the audio, it all looked great. What am I don't understand what I'm missing. Even the grapple shot, I was honestly, it gave me pause when we saw that rumor drop a couple of days ago. Like, ooh, how's this going to work? To see it in action and gameplay, it seemed natural. It was fine. honestly, I don't understand. People saying a graphical downgrade, this, that, and the other. It looked fine to me. It really did. So that I don't understand. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, of course. But I'm happy with what I saw from Halo. Abso-frickin-lutely. But that's my opening comment.
No, and that's fine. Show. And I'll say this. I felt like it felt like playing the original Combat Evolved, like that type of vibe, right? Just the cover that they released the day before the showcase online of Master Chief, Halo Infinite, really cool, amazing cover. And then just overall watching this, Paris, you know what this reminded me of? The vibe, it reminded me of, and you probably were there too, back in 2004 when they had Halo 2 and they showed like the gameplay single player for the first time to the audience. It was like a cool demo. That was awesome. That's the vibe that I felt. But it was good that they didn't show too much. They show like parts, so at least you see that they're going in the right direction, right? Yep. I know in the future we'll get to know more about the multiplayer, but this is what we needed. We know that the multiplayer is going to be good, but what was the thing that everybody talked about Paris for years? They were saying gameplay single player was just lacking for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the last time it was good like that was Halo 3. Halo 4 was decent. Halo 5 was just, it went somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy about that. And the way how they started the show, perfect.
That's what we've been saying. We've been saying, I don't need sizzle reels, none of that. Mm-mm. Someone with a controller in their hand playing the game. They literally showed you the start menu. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it says press start to start demo, right? Yep. It was good. It was perfect. Now, another thing I want to bring up, Paris, I liked that they show so many different type of games, man. Because the thing that Xbox is known as FPS, first-person shooters, every year, every time there's a new console, oh, first-person shooters, and that's it. No, there's RPGs, there's action, now platformers, there's RPG, or JRPG. There was like a lot of new, different things, puzzles, interactive stuff that we never seen before. I think that's good, man. And the thing is this, Paris, and I think you mentioned this a couple times in the past, that, hey, a game came out on Xbox Game Pass. You just try it out for the first time. Maybe you will like it, maybe you don't. But at least you have an option to try it out and you're not spending money. You're not like taking a risk like, oh man, should I spend $60 for a game? No. Dude, you're in Game Pass, you're good. Everything that was announced at this event for 60 minutes long, all those games are going to be available on Xbox Game Pass. That's insane.
Yes.
Insane. And people are not thinking about that. That's good. That's good because you know why? That will make competition better. So all these other companies that either have servers or they're thinking about doing this, they are going to change if this is a very successful service for Xbox in the future. Hey, go for it, man. And now you get to see third-party companies putting their games on Game Pass. Yo, Paris, Destiny on Game Pass? How was your reaction for that? Because I know you are a huge fan of Destiny. So when you heard that announcement, did that surprise you? Were you like, what or what?
So a little inside baseball. Yeah. I actually already knew that was happening because I was a part of IGN's show. So we got briefed on it early. So I already knew that was happening. So it wasn't a surprise when I saw it. But when I read it, you know, in the rundown, that excited me. Of course. I mean, that's great. I mean, the fact that that's going to be a part of Game Pass, it just adds more value to it. Because here's a game I was going to play anyways. Guess what? Now I don't have to buy the expansions on Xbox. I can play it on Xbox, no problem, because it's part of Game Pass. Again, as a gamer, we win with stuff like that. That's why I said after the show was over, the star of the show was Game Pass. Because it's about, hey, if I spend $10 a month, $15 a month, look at all the access to the different variety of games that I'm going to get, and it's only going to continue to get better. That was what I took from this show today. You know, like I said with Aaron, I look at the fact that Game Pass now allows them to get away from making 1,000 different sequels of the same game. They can make a Halo Infinite. They can make a Forza Motorsport, and they can just continue to support that game. and not worry about having to put out a part two or a part three or part 10. You just keep making that game better. You keep the story going on in that game. You keep iterating on the multiplayer in that game. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's what Game Pass is going to give them the flexibility to do. I'm telling you, it's the future because it's going to change game development. It's going to change the way we look at these games. You're going to see a big run up to get the engine right, to get the world established and all that. And then it's going to allow them to not have to go through all that again. They can just continue to build off the platform they've created. It's great. Yeah. I'm excited for it.
You know what game that at first I was like, when they announced this, I was like, oh, it's cool. And now I am so curious to try this out for the first time, Paris. Everwild. Everwild looks beautiful. I'm dying to try out this game and I want to learn more. Is this an RPG, open world for player co-op? Like, what's this game is all about? But let me tell you, the game looks so beautiful, man. So, so beautiful. And it's great to see Rare doing something totally new.
Yeah. Oh, you know? Absolutely. It's absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. To me, that was Studio Ghibli. That was a Miyazaki type game.
Yes.
That's what it looks like to me. I mean, that I was talking about that when I was on IGN. I want to know more, clearly. I mean, it looks like there's some kind of co-op element in there as well. So, I mean, there's still more story to be told there about what Everwild is going to be. But that was a nice introduction to it from the initial tease of what we saw at XO19. It's very clear it's not coming at launch. Maybe it comes in 2021. Who knows? But now it's on my radar. Now it's something I want to know more about. And that's good. And
yeah.
It's part of Game Pass. So there you go. Already
there you go. There you go. Now, Paris, someone hit me up on Twitter and said, Danny, you're always complaining about no dates and Xbox didn't show dates and this and this and that.
Yeah, Danny. Because you do that. And yeah.
And so I'll explain tell you, yourself. And I'm going to explain it to you right now. And I said this multiple times on the show. Multiple times. It's about communication. If you announce a game and you're quiet for 4 years, you shouldn't announce the game, period. That's wrong. But if you announce the game and it comes out 2 or 3 years and there's updates, interviews, constant new content of just what's going on with the process of working that game, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Now, there was a lot of games that they showed right in the beginning of the video, say console launch exclusive. Paris, that's a lot of, I mean, if I have to rewatch it again, but they show a couple of games that's launching that day for Xbox. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty good, man. So look, man, I'm going to take it back to when Shenmue was announced at the PlayStation conference. And I was there. I put money through Kickstarter right away, within seconds, right? And here's the thing. There were updates every month from the developer or every few months. And I'm all fine with that because now there's communication with the studio and the consumers, right? But if you announce a game and it's been 5 years and you haven't released it, that to me is bad. That's wrong. That's just gassing the consumers to buy the product, you know? And another thing that I want to bring up, because a lot of people are posting this up, is why there's no gameplay? Why they only show Halo Infinite as gameplay and that's in everything else? Look, man, Halo Infinite is the most important game for Xbox right now. And like you said, Paris, this is the flagship for Xbox Game Pass and just Xbox in general, the consoles, everything, right? Now, they want to highlight that game. There's a reason. If you think about it, there's a reason why they're showing that as gameplay and everything else is just quick little gameplay or trailers, right? Because Halo is the highlight. They don't want to put every single game, like let's say Fable for a second, because somebody mentioned this on Twitter. Why on earth Xbox is going to show Fable, announce it, and then show gameplay right away while they have Halo Infinite in the same showcase, which that game comes out for launch? It's marketing, guys. Everything takes time. If you release everything at the moment, how are you going to continue with the story? Think about it. Contact now. Content next month, content the month after that, and content all the way through the end of the year. That's the reason why Xbox is doing this. PlayStation is doing the same exact thing. If you actually think about it, the same exact thing. Why would PlayStation. So every game now in this press conference that they just had, the digital event, and not had anything else for before launch. It's a smart move, man. The reason why Perfect Dark wasn't announced at this event, they're saving that up for another day, maybe in August. There's a reason for that, man. So I just want to say that because people, I think they're not actually seeing the bigger picture. You know what I'm saying? So I had to rant for a second, but there you go, Paris. You want to say anything else from that? Yeah.
No,
you're grieving.
No, right? I totally get you. But I mean, one thing that I haven't, you know, we didn't get to talk to Aaron about because we really didn't dive too much into the games is I look at a game like As Dusk Falls. That was kind of one of my sleeper hits to come out of this event. I mean, fantastic art style, just the direction, that style of the game is something that I'm going to want to check out. You know, like it's a multi-generational story set in the American Southwest. It's like it's more, again, when I talk about get me to care about the characters. You make me care about the game. Make me get, let me have an emotional attachment to what's going on in the game. I think something like As Dusk Falls could do that. And then I even look on the flip side, I look at something like Avowed. Honestly, Avowed was a starred show to me, to be upfront with you, because it's coming from a developer that I absolutely adore. One of the best games of all time, in my opinion, Fallout New Vegas was made by Obsidian. We saw what they just did with The Outer Worlds. And now they have the back look with a small budget. Look what they did with The Outer Worlds. Right now, Microsoft gives them a big budget and say, okay, go make the first person RPG you've always wanted to make. And they go, okay. And now they're making Avowed. I'm in, which by the way, Series X only game. It will not be playable on Xbox One. Which
oh,
again,
it said it. Wait, really?
Yeah,
it said
it's not Xbox One. No, there was multiple.
Totally
there were multiple games in there that will not come to Xbox One. I believe Forza Motorsport as well did not have an Xbox One tag on it. But again, this is what we're talking about. When you get to the point where the games can no longer utilize the old hardware, all right, you cut it off. So we are seeing, like Fable is another one, will not be on Xbox One. That's fine. But a game like Halo Infinite obviously will be. But again, back to my point, I look at Avowed, that excites me. Abso-freaking-lutely. From a developer I like, fantasy RPG, you know, it's like this is Obsidian, this is Microsoft telling Obsidian, okay, go make your Skyrim. That's what we're getting. Sign me up. Yeah. Sign me the F up. I'm in. I'm excited
and guess
stuff
what?
Like that.
And guess what? It's on Xbox Game Pass.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Paris. Think something that we haven't thought about. Yes, it's not going to be available for Xbox One, X, or other consoles, but there's opportunity for Xbox to still continue promoting Project S Cloud and have that also available for consoles. Do you think that's possible too? So at least they could play it?
Wait, say it again?
So imagine Project S Cloud is available for Xbox One X.
Yes.
That's possible too. And continue the service?
Oh, well, that's a different thing. Of course. Yeah. Project X Cloud is going to allow you to play these games even if you don't have a Series X, but you're cloud streaming at that point. So it's going to be different than actually having the hardware. But again, this goes back to the overall message of what Phil Spencer has been talking about the last few weeks. They're putting gamers first. They're bringing the games to where the gamers are versus forcing you to go to a certain platform or hardware to play it. So in that scenario, like you're saying, I don't have a Series X, but I want to play Avowed. Okay, play it on Project X Cloud. You're a Game Pass Ultimate subscriber, you're good to go. Play it on your iPhone, tablet, your desktop PC, whatever you want to do. We got you.
I mean, if you buy an Xbox One now, Paris, and you don't know anything about Series X, you just bought the console because you found it a good price, you should be worried. Should you be worried about that? Like, you just bought the console and you see all these games coming out and maybe there's a couple that's not going to be available for your console. Do you think that was a bad investment at that time or no?
No, I don't think it's a bad investment. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, because I have a couple people that just bought an Xbox One X the end of last year because they found it a great price. And they read all these changes and they freaked out and they hit me up asking like, oh my God, so I bought this for nothing? Am I going to play Halo Infinite? I'm going to do this and this and that. I'm like,
that's what I'm saying. You're still going to, in this short term, remember, you're good at least until holiday 2021, probably even beyond that. of utilizing your Xbox One X. So no, I don't think it's a bad investment because you don't need to go run out and play buy a Series X to go play Halo right now. So you have time to now invest in the Series X versus, again, if you are on the PlayStation side, you want to play Spider-Man Miles Morales, guess what? You're getting a PlayStation 5. That's the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Paris, let me ask you what you thought about The Medium. That game looks very interesting.
And that's coming at launch.
At launch. I'm super excited for it. Because look, you take it back, and I mentioned this on the live stream, you take it back to the launch of the Xbox 360, there was a scary game. There was a horror game available there for launch, and it was Condemned. Awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
This is Condemned for Xbox Series X, if you actually think about it. So there are going to be all types of games, Psychonauts. That's going to be really good. I can't wait to try that out. And not only that, you could also try out all these old games that you've never played before that's going to be available from day one. So look, man. It's a win-win. It's a win-win. You could go to the store and just buy the console. You don't have to buy nothing else. Subscribe, and you have everything there, man. The thing that you said, Paris, months ago, Game Pass is like when you bought a Nintendo, the original Nintendo, and had Mario Brothers and also Dunk Hunt, and it came with the gun.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is for 2020. Game Pass for $1, 3 months, or whatever. You buy the console, you have all those games, man, and you continue to play in these games, and you're not missing out anything out, man. You're gonna have everything there available for you, man, on day one. Day one.
Agreed.
I think it's good. As a gamer, it's gonna be a really great thing, man. I can't wait to see more of this, like, in the future from Xbox, man. Anything else from you?
No, I mean, it's like I'd already said with Aaron. I think it's a solid show. It just feels like a part one in an ongoing story, and they understand that. That's why I also mentioned the flight simulator thing, since that wasn't coming at launch of the Series X, even though it will be on the PC. But hey, they want to make sure they get it right, so that makes total sense. But Xbox is headed in the right direction, absolutely. Now, I have a question for you, because I knew this ahead of time, and I was teasing you with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Phantasy Star Online 2 expansion.
Yo, I'm excited. I'm excited. This feels like a new game. Everything just looks different than the original, because the original came out in the early 2000s, 2009, I think it was, 2013. Or so. I can't remember exactly the time, but it's been a very long time that the developers worked on something new. This is it right here. This is going to be brand new. And the thing that got my attention the most about that game is that this is launching globally, not just in Japan first and that's it. Look, we're in a different time, man. Back in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was always Japan first, then United States, maybe Europe after. You know, so I'm excited. I'm very happy. My brother hit me up because he was the one that brought this up a couple of days ago. He's like, oh, man, do you think Sega will have something new with Final Fantasy, Phantasy Star Online? I'm like, nah, man, it's too soon, man. And the reason why I mentioned that, why I say it was too soon, the game came out back in February, right? And they've been launching, they've been adding a lot of content throughout the year, a couple months, new content all the time. And the reason why I thought that was not going to happen is all those content came out through, like, a year, a couple years later, a couple months later, when it came out first in Japan. We're getting that so fast, and now we're going to get the new stuff in 2021. Dude, awesome. I think that's super exciting. And another game that I want to bring up, Paris, is Tetris Effect Connected. Super important game to me because I played the first one on PlayStation 4. Great game. Love the soundtrack, but now they're adding multiplayer in there, and this is also going to be available for Xbox Game Pass. A win-win. Yes. It's a third-party game, you know. So it's good. It's good, man. I'm excited for everything else, man, that's coming out for Xbox. And now August is going to be a very important month, Paris, for both Xbox and PlayStation. Now this is the opportunity to show maybe a couple extra games, just to get people excited. And now is the date. And also the price. And that's when we already know everything from there, man.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
Yeah. Anything else? I think we could wrap it up.
For now. I think that's it. Like I said, it's been one long ass day for me.
Yeah.
But this has been a lot of fun. A lot of fun. This was a day we were obviously anticipating a lot because we wanted to see what Microsoft had in store. And yeah, I feel it was solid. It was solid. We now know what Halo Infinite is, and that's a good thing. And we might get some more information on that soon. And obviously we know the multiplayer is coming for that. So looking forward to hearing more.
Yeah, can't wait, man. So head over to GamingTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamingTag Radio. We're there. And make sure to post a review if you can. That will help us out. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail episode, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. First of all, I just want to say congratulations to Paris. Great job on your IGN coverage. That was really cool. Hope to see more of that in the future. And any last words before I wrap it up?
No, man. Thank you. I appreciate the kind words on that. Appreciate it. Just everyone's just been amazing the past few weeks with everything that's been going on. And like I said, from an Xbox standpoint, we got more information. I'm happy. We're entering the next generation. Like you said, next month, hopefully we'll get a price and launch date on all these hardware stuff for Xbox and PlayStation. And we just go from there.
Yeah, cool. All right, everyone. Until next time, thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. We're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.